We're going to read from Daniel chapter 9, which is a model for intercessory prayer. Let me read it first. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, even turning aside from thy commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to thy servants, the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, in all the countries to which thou hast driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against thee. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed thy law and turned aside, not obeying thy voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled over us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. Over to verse 16. O Lord, in accordance with all thy righteous acts, let now thine anger and thy wrath turn away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications. For thy sake, O Lord, let thy face shine on thy desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we are not presenting our supplications before thee on account of any merits of our own, but on account of thy great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for thine own sake. O my God, do not delay, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. It says that while he was still speaking, the angel Gabriel was sent to him. Now this is such a model of prayer, because of intercessory prayer, because when the Lord was addressed by Daniel, He didn't pray for them. He prayed with them. He didn't address those as though they were the sinners. And he was the righteous one praying for the sinners. He identified himself with the sinners and then prayed with them as though he was part of them. And so righteous Daniel, a man highly esteemed by God, not many fit in that category as Daniel did. Highly esteemed by God, he identified himself with those who had broken God's law, who had forsaken God and rejected his word. He identified with them. He made himself to be one with them, and he prayed from that perspective and confessed the sins of the people as though they were his own. Now, why is that so significant? Because that's Jesus. That's how Jesus dealt with us. He came down. He identified himself with us. And he brought our sins before God as though they were his own. And that prayer is highly favored by God. And so now, ours is to identify ourselves with the fallen, with the weak, with those who have rejected God wholesale. So now, we have to identify ourselves with those who are covered with tattoos and whose eyes are black and covered with piercings, and those who have drunk the cup of death. Instead of praying at them or towards them or for them, we have to identify ourselves with them, because these people, they grew up with no knowledge of God. None at all. None. It's the righteousness of God is not taught in the church. There is no morality taught in school. The parents, they check their parenting cards at the door and they don't do their job. They're like people who have gone insane, letting their children run wild and do anything. And so these children have been raised with no knowledge whatsoever of right or wrong. And they have reaped the whirlwind as a result. Now ours is to understand that had we been born in this generation, that would be us. And we would be them. And we'd be down at the tattoo parlor. And we'd be down in the filthy places where they hang out. And our ears would be jammed with the horrible, discordant sounds that fill them with blackness from hell. That would be us. So it's the grace of God that we're sitting here. So ours is to pray as though we are have been rescued out of the same stormy seas that they're still in them. And so ours is to reach out to them in great compassion, because we're all falling into the same sea. We're all drowning. We're all perishing. God reached out and he rescued us. And now we have to rescue others. We have to rescue them. And the beauty of it is, some are called to go out and to go forth and to go into these places. Would that we were all called to do that. But it doesn't matter, because prayer is just as good as going out. Prayer is just as powerful, maybe even more so. And that's why we're here tonight, is to identify with this poor, wretched, miserable, perverted, and filthy culture. To identify with them and to pray prayers of repentance on their behalf as though it was us. Because this is a prayer approved by God. This is at the very heart of Jesus. And so this is the heart attitude God would have in all of us. Not condescending, not looking down. You know, when you look and you see some of these young people that go by, your flesh naturally recoils. It's very easy to look down on them. And that kind of attitude is not blessed by God at all. Eyes is to understand. But these are our children. Whoever they are. Our kids. To reach out with them. With a heart attitude that God has. God the Father knows each one of them by name. He knows what they've gone through. He knows the desolation of their souls. He experiences the emptiness like a cavern that's in their heart. And His compassion is toward them. So rather than praying for judgment, ours is to pray for revival, for righteousness to be poured out. Righteousness is a gift from God, as it was given to us. It can be given to them. It's a gift. It's a supernatural blessing from God that none of us deserved or earned. And as God gave it to us, He can give it to many and others. And as we've been reading and studying Charles Finney, we see God can do great works. We serve the same God that Charles Finney served. The same one. Charles Finney is dead and in glory. But his God is still alive. And He's here tonight in this room. Ready to save. Ready to pour out righteousness. Looking for any excuse to visit with mercy that He can find. And tonight, that excuse is us. So let us enter a time of intercession for those who are wounded, who are in the darkness of hell. Let us identify with them and pray on their behalf. So their sins are our sins. Let us intercede and see what God might do. What He might do in our cities, in our provinces, and in our states. Let's just see what God will do. All right? Let's pray.